434-1790, starcomnetwork.net, 266-4862. And thanks to the WhatsApper who sent me the information to share with the caller. According to the news item, starting tomorrow, October 12th, that's what the item said at the time, the Barbados Revenue Authority will begin processing visitors' permits online only. Payments will be processed through the ShorePay online payment platform and its network of locations. Persons requiring a visitor's permit to drive in Barbados, which is not issued by a car rental company, should complete and submit the application form found on www.bra.gov.bb via email to permits@bra.gov.bb. Visitors who make an application for a period of stay of under 2 months will be required to email a copy of their valid international driver's license along with the completed form. Persons making an application for a period of stay over 2 months will be required to email a copy of their valid international driver's license along with a copy of their passport showing their working or living status in Barbados along with that application. So it was via email, payment via ShorePay, and www.bra.gov.bb, permits@bra.gov.bb. Maybe a little too late to help you, but someone else who's coming in may find something useful in that information. And again, thanks to the WhatsApp who sent the information. That's one of the things I like about those who follow online and at least give us something that we can share with the public. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Hey, hello. There's someone raising a concern about the reporting of COVID cases in Barbados and the comments flowing in from the discussion with the gentleman about his experience is an interesting one because it shows both the fears of the public, the areas where communication or lack thereof is presenting an additional challenge. Person asked, why can't we as a people know where by parish the number of COVID-19 cases are in Barbados? Don't you think it would help curtail the movement of people so one can check on the areas, the amount of cases in any major part of the world, even in Jamaica it is known, we don't want the names. My response was that the person who tested positive are visitors and were not divided by parish. And the person said to me, but we had local cases before. And I recall the church group and the housekeeper and the family. And the person said that between March and June, there were 97 cases, were all visitors. Now, when you go back and look at the charts that are printed, and I had to tell them I agree with what they were saying because they were saying from an epidemiological investigation of the pieces, they think they're necessary not only by age and gender. And my comment was that I agree when I look at the chart as presented on a regular basis, I too have questions the way the reports are presented. For example, you would see there were 600 tests done today, none were positive. And my question usually is, 600 cases, tests from where? 600 visitors, random tests, contact tracing, second tests. Just saying there were 600 tests, presenting statistics without background information sometimes does not give you answers to the questions you may have. Now, I don't know about by parish or area because I'm not sure that that is necessary unless you have identified community spread, which we haven't done in Barbados. But there are questions about the persons in quarantine, where they are, and the person was suggesting that whenever protocols are issued, that there should be radio interaction programs like these and other programs where people may be able to ask questions, concerns they have them addressed, so at least they feel involved in the process. Earlier on in managing the outbreak and the dealing with it, there was more interaction. But the concerns being raised by people should not be treated as just, you know, people wanting to to see things. I think people's concerns are genuine, and if they have concerns, they should be able to direct them to someone who can give them answers with which they're comfortable, whether the hotline works or whether you have a hotline to answer it, whether you have a dedicated group of practitioners who can call in to programs like this and respond to people's queries or questions they may send to the station and say, we need to find out. Because I've asked the question, how many government, I know you can go online and see the hotels that are part of the quarantine exercise. I did that. I also saw the cost of staying there, ranging from 70, 80 US dollars per night, double occupancy, to 100 plus, depending on where you are and whether you're getting breakfast or not. And that's why I asked the gentleman who would call some of the questions I asked him, so that some of the blanks in my mind could be filled in. Now, there were comments online via WhatsApp, and I'm always a little cautious if I'm not sure of the information with sharing it with the public. That's just my caution. But there was a message or messages saying that, you know, the government quarantine facilities are more or less like bunks and camping. I know at one point that one of the areas identified as a government quarantine station was the one closest to the airport, Paragon. I remember there was a entertainer from off a cruise ship who called about his experience there. And he spoke highly of the nurses who worked there and the fact that when they were leaving, the entertainers put on a performance for the nurses there because of the treatment they received. So the question is, apart from Paragon, what are the other government facilities? Are they separated into male and female? How are they manned? Is there communication so that if someone is quarantined at the government facility, they have the ability to send a message to their loved one saying, I'm at Paragon, I'm going to be here for 5 days, I'm going to have a test done tomorrow. If I get back the result by next 2 days, I'll be in touch with you so you can come and pick me up. You know, that kind of thing. So at least their mind is at rest. You know, if they opt to go to a hotel, are they allowed? I mean, if you get arrested, you're supposed to get one phone call to your lawyer, right? So if you're quarantined, you should at least get one phone call. Someone sent a WhatsApp message saying the authorities should tell them. I don't know how it works. I have not been quarantined. Brastax, good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon. Two things.
Uh-huh.
The first one, I saw a video, a very disturbing video, of a gentleman who was clearly not in his right mind walking down Black Rock with not even a stitch on, not even a shoelace. Clearly not in his right mind. You know, there's this talk about policemen carrying body cameras and stuff. But I'm not so sure. This is not a body camera thing. This is just about a response of human beings with
suffering.
A human being.
Yeah.
Okay, a man who is clearly not in his right mind. Mm. This man got body slammed. As if, you know, he's a Black American being challenged by white policemen. Well, what is wrong with these people? I mean, where's the sense of pride? With the knowledge that you know are not, this is not a race thing. We have to show the rest of the world how we treat each other. Now, I do need to rethink because I think it's important that we are now part of this process. A man who could not be in his right mind, his body slammed. He had hit the ground real hard. And he jockey back up and the putty handcuffs and the trendy back up like an animal. I mean, sometimes you can look at somebody and say, you know, this man, he ain't quite right. You know, I know that mad people can be very aggressive. I know this. I got family.
I thought you were saying no from my personal experience.
I go down a road.
Yeah, I know, because boy, you might get body slam.
Correct. And I figured they got my voice confused with somebody else. But okay, back off of that one there. But yes, they can be aggressive.
Yeah.
They can be. But this is
dangerous to themselves.
Situation like that. Clearly.
Well, you know that, man.
Huh?
Yeah.
Okay, that's point one. How to get off my shoulder. Point two.
Okay, that's a good one.
But okay,
I can't have a fight with you on that one.
I don't think these fellas at District A, is listening to this program, unfortunately. But well, it only depends on District C is listening and call District B, and then District B will call District A. Let me see what happens. So here we go. Our whole town, call whole town, whole town, we'll call Central. Then Central will call District A. Let's see what happens. So here's the thing. You got a man that is quarantined. He was tested negative. But, you know, we got doubt. So let me say he's one of the unsure kind. Okay. I've been living in Barbados since February, where you had the shutdown. And they've had weeks upon weeks upon weeks to make sure that if anybody's walking about with symptoms that are not presenting, by that time, surely by October, those people have now gone. It's gone. It's gone. I'm saying to you point blank that I'm 100% sure that COVID does not exist in Barbados outside of quarantine. But we're still being made to wear masks and walk around, stand up in the sidewalk and stuff, which is infuriating. Okay, so here's a man now who can or cannot, may or may not have COVID. Yes, he tested positive, but there's a process where he has to go through a second test and stuff. He goes into a hotel. I say that what should happen to him is what is happening to us. He should be made to wear a mask, come down to the lobby, go by the swimming pool, go up on the beach as long as he's not allowed to, you know, he doesn't, well, even if he, as long as you can make sure the man keeps his mask on. We good to go. This is a virus that sulfur water is killed. There's no stop in the air for longer than, what, 5 minutes or something.
Well, they keep changing the length of time.
What length of, yeah, well, I know, okay, yeah, I get it. But, you know, I scare tactics is something that requires a lot of public relations, and that is what you're seeing now. Well. You're being made to be afraid of something that necessarily does not deserve this level of fear. This man should be wearing a mask, yes. He might be able to social distance, you know, from the staff, yes. Because he is not sure. We are not sure of this guy. You can put the man in a room to stop him there for 2 weeks. For 2 weeks. You know, they had people on the cruise ships, working on the cruise ships. And thankfully, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, which does not, I have to stress, does not include the Minister of Foreign Affairs, either one of the two. This is completely a ministry effort. Got to get those people home on an aircraft. They were stuck on that cruise ship in their cabins. They were not allowed to leave. One person actually hung themselves. I think it's a Trinidadian. Hung himself.
No.
Because of the trauma of having to stick in that little small room for all those months. Mm-hmm. Overkill. If you may or may not have COVID, come outside within a particular confine. Go to the swimming pool, but wear a mask. Invariably, I believe a hotel probably only has people with COVID on, well, you know, I don't know, quarantine people. I don't know. But truth be told, he should be, where we are being treated is where he should be treated. We, on the other hand, should be like normal. No, it's not outside. COVID doesn't exist under no rock.
No, but you see,
nobody care.
So, but the reason why they emphasize the mask is they say not only are you protecting yourself from spreading it, but if you do not have it, you're protecting yourself from perhaps catching it from somebody else who may have it and not know. What they call them?
The asymptomatic people,
yeah. Those.
Right, asymptomatic. Yeah. And I'm saying to you that those people we know now, 100% sure, do not exist in Barbados outside of quarantine. There is not a problem outside of quarantine. That is what I'm trying to say to you. We should not be standing up on the sidewalk to go inside a bank. We should not be standing up in the yard to go into the polyclinic in the hot sun. People with babies and older women and older men who can hardly stand up on their own in any event unless they got a wheelchair. All this is an overkill and an absolute insult to the population of Barbados. With the knowledge, of course, that people who are making decisions should very well outside the quarantine. How long do you have to say that for people to understand? You're making people suffer by doing things that are completely and totally unnecessary. In other words, you are killing a patient by over-medicating him. That is exactly what is happening. People are probably getting sick now because they're going to stand up on the sidewalk. They're getting sick now because they're going to stand up in the middle of the yard. They're getting sick at the polyclinic. They're probably getting sick now because the VA force is stopping a hotel for a whole 2 weeks when they could be going around the swimming pool with a mask on. You know, come on, man. I think intelligent people should be coming forward and saying intelligent things and not sitting behind some guy, some protocol. Only WHO made this the protocol. Are we going to overkill it because that is what black people do? Tell them to jump and they go, how high? And jump even higher. That is unfortunate. But luckily enough, I'm a white beige, so I don't have to identify with that there. I ain't got to identify with that there.
So when you say we, you're speaking for a particular 1% of the percentage of Barbados.
Well, yeah, no, hopefully.
Let me say to you, okay? A WhatsApp message say we should cut you every time you say there's no COVID in Barbados because that's misinformation.
Oh my God,
I told the person, sir, I told the person it's an opinion. It's the producer's call, not mine. But I'm just telling you this for a reason. There are people who either through their fear of contracting the illness, the uncertainty of how long the virus can remain on surfaces, in the air, etc., who prefer to be cautious.
No,
be cautious
spread.
Because
that is what is being, that's the term that's being used now. Community spread is zero. That is being verified by all the government agencies as well. There is no community spread.
Sir, again, I have always appealed to you at least to listen to me for a little bit the way I listen to you closely.
Okay.
Terminology is something that changes from person to person, not what you say, what they hear. For example, the same gentleman I was talking to, he was in quarantine. But you notice he said when he went to the licensing, he told them he had been in isolation. You hear the difference, right? And that's why I said, you know, we got to get accustomed to the terminology. So when people say there's no community spread in Barbados, and you get a WhatsApp message that says, you should let us know by parish, because according to the statistics, we had 90 persons tested positive between April and May. They can't be all visitors. Where were they? So when you make comments about no community spread, you have to get people to understand what community spread means, because there is a definition for it. But what people hear is that it might be in my community because the church down the road had 5 people there who tested positive. And that's why I said the communication, having someone who could answer the questions. You see, the same way you got questions and the comments you made, if you had that type of interaction with a health professional who could allay your fears, if that was possible, or allay the fears of the public, we won't be having this conversation you'll be happy and I'll be happy.
100% agreed. Exactly. Communication from that level point in the other way. But, you know, you have to go based on the information that you have before you. Mm-hmm. And if you have information on January, February, March, April, and May, mm-hmm. what about June, July, August, September, October? If you have community spread then, there is absolutely zero chance that there is no, because you admit that it stays in the atmosphere, and yes, those numbers change every so often, mm-hmm. but not for 3 months. So how many test positives were there last month? Did you hear? I don't. If there is good news, if there was zero test positive last month, why were you not told? Why? Because it's good news and the fear factor goes away?
And
is that the problem? Do you know how many people are raped how many tourists are raped last year by locals? You're not going to tell, you're going to know.
You're not going to give that figure unless somebody goes
you're
and dredge it up and come up with it as a headline for a story.
I'm refuted because of the scare factor.
Yeah, but let me say this to you, and this is one of the issues I raised about statistics only. When you say today, there were 600 tests, none positive. Then tomorrow you say there were 647 tests, none positive. And then the day after that you say there are 357 tests, none positive. Unless you go back every day and check, unless you know that the 600 were 300 retests, 300 new ones, those statistics in and of themselves don't mean anything. And trust me, people don't pay attention to them unless it affects them personally. So when it becomes somebody down the road, somebody at the church they attended, somebody they saw last week, then they start going back and checking the figures and say, but wait, when was that person tested? When did they come here? Where have they been since? Which are some of the questions you've seen online. Because trust me, they're also printing those statistics and sending saying, but look at what they said here, look at what they said there. Is managing communication, sir, and managing anxieties. 434-1790-266-4862, our WhatsApp number, and brasstax@starcomnetwork.net, or email address. John Stout is the technical operator producer. I'm Dennis Johnson, your host. We go until 2 o'clock. WhatsApp messages reacting to the last caller before the news. That's nothing unusual. Someone sent a picture here of the outpatient ENT section at the QEH, and they said, how are we treating our sick citizens like this? We need to do better, perhaps a larger tent. Sick persons who attend the QEH not fit and able-bodied, please seek out some compassion on behalf of our sick citizens. There are several persons standing under a small tent. Now, I'm not and there's some chairs around as well. Most of the people standing look young, but I'm not sure where or what the picture represents. So I'm just looking at it and reacting to it. Now, you know, there are times that you hear a news item and you pay no attention to it, because, you know, you think you're safe from whatever has happened or whatever is happening. And there are times when you hear a news story and it touches a part of you one way or another. That incident at Roy Smith Shop, I lived out in that area some years ago, would stand outside Roy Smith Shop waiting on a ZR to come to work here at Starcom. More times than I care to recall, my children, well, one in particular, because the other one came along later, but one in particular, I would actually let her ride down to the corner to get a newspaper from my George, that's right across from Roy Smith Shop. I would stand by the junctions and just watch her ride off and come back, you know, teaching a little independence. Sometimes I'd walk alongside with her and then stop halfway through the track and let her go. You know, you do those things and you think it's safe to do it. And in today's environment, although I don't have any little children, I still worry about the big ones. That's what parents do. But I wonder about people with young children and how much freedom they're allowed to have and how safe it is to let them do things that I did as a youngster that, you know, I felt comfortable doing. Leaving the garrison and walking down the back of the drill hall and going body surfing down behind Hilton and going, yes, John, going crabbing late at night. was safe, you know, relatively safe. Today, you know, there's an old song that I listen to from time to time. Cat Stevens did it, called Where Do the Children Play? That becomes, I don't know, I suppose, a big question. Because in between shooting and random acts of violence and COVID, and that's why when the caller today talk about long life, I ask him, you know, why you want to give me that sentence? It's sad. It really is that we have made such a mess of the things we enjoyed and inherited and should have passed on to our children, that we have to have them closeted, sit at home and look at things that give them the wrong impression about what life is like. Sometimes we share it with them. And our fears and anxieties become their reality. Sad, but that's what it is. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Hello, Mr. Johnson.
My brother, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing good. Thank you.
And the family all good?
When last I spoke to them, they were all right.
You know they are. You were so happy.
Well, I didn't know what happened since I last saw them or heard them. They could get up to mischief.
I want to discuss two things with you. One, and then next one, ain't going to be impersonal, but someday I can ask you. But first, let me ask you a question. When you ran in a commercial at your station, and you ran it for weeks and months, sometimes you sell them for years, why you keep repeating it?
So that people will get the message.
So therefore, I'm quite correct in saying that they send over and over so people get the message, isn't it?
Yeah, but sometimes they don't get the message at all. But yeah, but that's the reason why commercials are repeated. So that eventually they will be... Trust me, people would walk away when they hear commercials don't go in the fridge, right? But as I said, until it affects them. And then they come back and ask, what was the message?
But
it happens.
I'm going to keep repeating my message over and over because I want the people to listen and get it in the head. Before they ask something else. You believe it's possible for a human being to leave home well educated and have all his intelligence at home because of fear? In other words, he will not react or she will not react to things because of fear, but no, it is wrong.
Because it's wrong, yeah.
Right. But they know it's wrong, but they will not react to it, right?
Correct. Yeah.
So I begin to understand now, a lot of people who look at me are basically left in intelligence at home and walk out, but have the carry with them. And I further want to say this too. If they used to carry the intelligence with them, the majority of them, they know how to use the resources that are theirs, that are in their control. Because the truth is that they can only have a successful race if it invests in its own interests. You cannot invest in somebody else's interest and you'll be successful. In other words, I know you love your children, you always talk about your children, your wife, and so on. You can't work and then take your own money and give it to me. Because you surely won't love them. Because you were barely born to die. What I'm saying is simple. The country that I am living in, I do not, and I'm going to repeat again, I do not like what is happening in this country. Nothing to do with government, nothing to do with opposition, nothing to do with nobody other than that there's some fundamental fear of people in the interest of developing their own. And if you do not work to develop your own, you can't develop yourself. Every human being in this country that has a child, the child cannot marry to his brother or sister because that will not be normal.
It's against
Secondly,
the law.
They have to go into other people's family. So the majority of them are going to find you who look like them. So therefore, they should be supporting people who look like them. That don't mean you don't be nice to other people. Why is that so difficult and everybody's so afraid of me was saying that?
Because you know the reason why. It is because it disturbs their concept and the safety that they have built around themselves because of their mindset. So look, it's not an unusual thing to hear what I heard when I started doing this program 26 years ago. Mm-hmm. I was told by the person I considered more my father than my uncle, who was one of the few members of his family who was an independent professional. He was a lawyer, a magistrate, a judge. He worked in every Caribbean island. Mm-hmm. Okay? Attorney general here, acting governor there, you name it. My uncle said to me the first time he heard me on the radio, he said to me, son, get back a job in the hotel industry. I said, why? He said, if you continue to say the things you say on radio, you will never be employed in Barbados. And he called a specific gentleman's name and said, he ain't going to employ you. Yeah. A well-known business name in Barbados. So, and this is somebody who didn't have to depend on that person for a job. He had a job. He had his profession. He was respected for his profession. But his advice was, don't say what you're saying on the radio. You ain't gonna get a job in Barbados again. Not that he was wrong, because I ain't get one since then. But so if that is the mindset, sir, if that's the belief, then you saying to somebody, don't put your money by Mr. Cave and Shepherd. Put it by Mr. X or Mr. This or Mr. That, because he's the same complexion as you. You're disrupting the construct of the world around them, and people don't like that. It's like taking the roof off of their head.
But Mr. Johnson, it still has to be said.
I'm telling you why they react the way they do.
No, I agree. Because if you really analyze life with the races in the world, you discover that the only thing that matters to these people is money. And the truth is, it should not be money alone. It should be principle. It should be caring for people even though they don't look like you. But no, their own aim is money. So everybody come into Barbados, and overnight, all these races or different group of people could generate wealth, and we walk about leaving our brain at home saying we don't want Mr. X or Mr. Y to get rich off of them. But Mr. X and Mr. White's son or daughters is going to get in affairs with them. When the great Sir Gary Sobel was a youngster, he kind of like me poor. But you think when he started playing cricket and started performing 11 that he performed, you think that anybody wife, I mean, anybody daughter care that he poor come from the Bayland? They see a genius in performing and they want to be with him. And the mother and father could do nothing about it. When he was coming up as a youngster, generating the wealth that he generated the fast, where you think a girl worried that he come from Cairn Village? Doctors, young lawyers, all kinds of people should be with me. You think they're interested in that I went to university?
And then what happened? Sorry. Look, honestly, right?
Hello?
I'm listening to you. I'm telling you this, right? Because there are people who hear. There are people who react, and there are people who will not react. There are people who will say after a while, it is, we play an ad, for example, all the time about Life Kids Gospel Challenge. And mostly what people hear and send messages saying they annoy that is the children shouting at the end, all saying Kids Gospel Challenge together. It spoils the message for them. Children shouted. No, there was a time when children shouting meant happiness and joy, and you would say, okay, the children having a good time. But listening to it constantly on the radio, it becomes an annoyance. So sometimes you have to figure out when the message becomes an annoyance, how to change it, how to twist it and turn it. This morning, we had 15 minutes on the air with BNOCL giving 11 scholarships to the Samuel Jackman Prescott. And let me share with you what the person who called said to me. We would like you to do this because we sit and listen to you and Mohammed Nasser talking to each other, and you seem to be sympathetic to persons who needed to be trained by the Samuel Jackman Prescott and become proficient skillfully rather than just paying attention to academic. But that's because of the conversations I've had, not because the person know me personally or know anything about me at all, right? The point I'm making, sir, is that sometimes the people who don't want to hear the message is not because the message is wrong. It's because what they hear is an annoyance because it's annoying them. And that's why I try to tell people when they send me WhatsApp messages, oh, you're the worst person. I say, your problem with me is not my problem, you know. Your problem with me is you. You are the one who find it an aggravation, not me. I am comfortable with who I am and what I am. So keep telling me that I annoying you ain't doing nothing to me because you the one annoying, not me. So look, we are afraid, and that's why I made the comment to you the last time you went off. We sometimes don't have the confidence, and my other buddy can call, the gentleman who's calling, rag me up and tell me and this we. There are people who do not have confidence in themselves to step out because they're afraid of being told you're a failure, or as in your case, you buying big car and showing off and you're with a white woman and you're done with we, you ain't from Carrington Village no more. That may not be, so that may not be what you think. I was told at one point that if you ain't red, you're dead. And so when I started making overtures to a nice chocolate-colored lady, everybody call her, my dear Johnson don't like women you color. He only like big red women. He taking advantage of you. He only doing this. He only doing that. I going, any of these people that tell you about me know me? No. So what they tell you about me for? If they want you, let them come up to you and say, darling, I want you. Stop coming and telling you about me. Because every time they tell you about me, you have to go and phone to call me. So they can't be very smart. Look, sir, people upset because what you're saying annoying their peace of mind. That's all.
Yeah, but that don't bother me. You know that don't bother me. My job.
It bothering them, though.
But let me tell you some two quick things, Mr. Joy, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
There are major supermarkets and barbers that are owned by black people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Very nice people. And they have some very nice farms. Do you understand that their children have martyrs of poor families? You think that family, they're martyring the poor anymore? And they're all the same black people? What I'm also trying to explain to black people, you have to support your own, because if you make black people successful look like you, they will automatically sometime, if not in your children, your grandchildren, your great-grand, that we move forward, that's to them. That's a fact. You can't stop it. Then, if you look at me with all that I have achieved in Barbados, still getting more out there. My sisters and my brothers, other people's sisters and brothers. I might tell you to come along, and other people's sisters and brothers will get, will respond from that. And other people will come into my sisters and brothers and support my brothers and sisters. I support
my
brothers and sisters. What's the difficulty on the side, Mr. Johnson?
Sir, it is not that they don't understand it. I tell you, they understand it. It just rattles their peace of mind. It's not that they don't understand it. They understand it better than you do. They just want you to stop saying it.
I must tell you, one thing I take before I go. This thing called government, there is no government in the world that is not a dictatorial government. You agree or don't agree with that? I don't care who to get elected. Whether it is by voting and the people love them the most and vote for them, whether it's by revolution, overthrowing another government, every government in the world is dictatorial.
So
why you stare like that?
So let me tell you something, right? Again,
yeah.
Personal, I was there.
Yeah.
People's National Movement Convention, Chagaramas, Trinidad. Eric Williams sitting at the head table with his government ministers.
Yeah.
A parliamentary group got up at the convention and said, we want to move a motion that Trinidad and Tobago could only prosper if it is declared a benevolent dictatorship.
Yeah.
Eric Williams leaned down in the microphone and said, and what it is you think you have? And people pong up the table and laugh and carry on. And I sit down there going, did you hear what he just said?
Mr. Johnson, you know
what that's what saying? Eric, that's what the late Eric Eustace Williams said at the PNM convention when the man said that Trinidad could only prosper if it is declared a benevolent dictatorship. Eric asked him, what do you think you have?
That's
so
right.
That's the answer to your questions.
No,
it depends on what you think you have. It depends on what you think you have.
All I'm saying to the country is, it's not to do with dislike for nobody. It's not to do with making anybody poor. It's about bringing some economic balance to this country. That's what
I'm saying, Mr. Johnson. It ain't going to happen. I know you.
Mr. Johnson, one of these days I can tell you about things that white people do for me and things I do for white people. What do you tell about things I do in this country that nobody in Barbados will believe? Because they will never make that kind of sacrifice they make and give up why give up in the interest of somebody and some principle. But that is not, that matters. All that matters to me now that I am not going to allow a society to continue where minority rule must dominate the country, every government you change to dominate it, and black people must be afraid to stand up and say it is wrong. Mr. Johnson, thank you for your time here.
As usual, good hearing you, sir.